Okay, please find a comfortable posture. Keep your back straight as much as you can. Gently close your eyes. Beautiful Saturday morning. You all are here with beautiful intention to make your life peaceful, content, going to have experience how to taking care of ourselves. Now think to yourself, I am going to meditate. This meditation helps to keep my mind well, happy and peaceful. Now send your loving thoughts towards yourself. Thinking, may I be well, may I be happy, may I be peaceful, may no harm come to me, may no difficulties come to me, may I always find joy, balance and contentment. Why we are repeating words? Words are powerful. We are making our intentions. Remember, one day those intentions turn into actions. That is the teaching of the Buddha. Some qualities or practices of Eightfold Path, making intentions. We call the sankalpas. May I be well. May I be happy. May I be peaceful. Sometimes you may experience I am not peaceful. I am not talking about before or later of your life. In this present moment, I am well, happy and peaceful. Now send your loving thoughts towards your family. May all of my family members be well, be happy, be peaceful. Think of them individually by names. Whether they are here in this world or not, still you have memories with them. Still you can practice loving kindness with your departed relatives. Then all the people living with you, your brothers and sisters, your parents, your children. Some are celebrating their birthdays, I heard. Think of them. Send your blessing, healing, loving kindness, unconditionally. May they be well. May they be happy. May they be peaceful. As we all know, we all have difficult family members. They are challenging people. They are negative. Sometimes they are abusive. They don't know what they are doing because of their ignorance. Therefore, as a person who is trying to practice loving kindness, even this present moment, please learn how to forgive them. What is forgiveness? Forgiveness is completely letting go without reservations. You can forgive, but no need to forget. Don't try for that. I'm really sure rest of your life you remember all the negative things happen with them. But when you practice love kindness, you healed more than them. Because we all deserve peace. May they be well. May they be happy. May they be peaceful. Now send your loving thoughts towards whole world. May all living beings be well, be happy, be peaceful. Remember, this loving kindness practice is the most powerful meditation practices in the world. Once Buddha said, even a moment of your practicing loving kindness beneficial to you and also beneficial to the world. Therefore, in this moment, maintain that skillful thought in your mind. It is not a job to do. Just live with that quality. When you work, when you are looking at other people, when you are smiling, when you are talking, that quality always there with you. People will feel your healing energy, your positivities, that is the power of this practice. Now slowly turn your attention to your breath, which means your life. Every breath you take in, you take out, is taken mindfully. Focus on your natural, ordinary breath. If you are distracted by a thought or a feeling or a sensation, bring your attention back to the breath or present moment. Mind wanders, which is so beautiful. That is the nature of the mind. If your mind is not wandering, definitely something wrong with your mind. Let it wander, but you can be a silent observer. What mind does, what is coming into your mind, then whatever come to your mind, staying for a while, you keep watching and observing, then you may experience they are passing away. That's it. You are calm and silent, not quiet. Now observe your mind, observe your body. Your body is relaxed. Your mind is calm, tranquil, and peaceful. Now bring your palms together close to your heart. make a strong determination to practice meditation every day, regularly, with diligence and patience. Understand how important this meditation practice to make your life better, peaceful, harmonious experience. May peace be with you. May you be well. May you be happy. May you be peaceful. Thank you very much. Please open your eyes. Okay, today we are going to dedicate our morning chanting to the Holy Nielsen Godson, right? Todd's sister. She's a little physically weak right now. She needs a blessing, so therefore, as a good brother, he's sponsoring this morning meditation. And also, I want to remind, Chinta is celebrating her daughter's birthday. She came to the temple today to send her blessing. And also, today is our one of the big fundraiser of the temple, Taste of Sri Lanka. Ruth came from Miami for Taste of Sri Lanka. Thank you so much, Ruth. And Allison came from Las Vegas for Taste of Sri Lanka. All the Blue Lotus people keep coming from the different direction of the country. So thank you so much. Thinking about you all, we are going to chant, sending the blessing. All the people request those blessings. So let's chant. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Anicca vata saṅkhārā uppādavaya dhammino. Uppajjitvā nirujjanti tesaṃ upasamosuko. Sabbe santā avērā hontu. Sabbe santā abhyāpajjāhontu. Sabbe santā anīgāhontu. Sabbe santā sukhī attānaṃ pari. Mano pumbhangama dhamma. Mano setta mano maya. මනසාචේ පදුට්ටේන භාසතිවා කරෝතිවා තතෝනං දුක්ක මන්වේති චංකංව වහතෝ පදං මනෝපුබ්බංගමාධම්මා මනෝසෙට්ටා මනෝමයා මනසාචේ පසන්නේන භාසතිවා කරෝතිවා තතෝනං සුඛ මන්වේති ඡායාව අනපායිනි. We believe. My wish. Okay. Good morning, everybody. Happy to see you all. People who know me very closely, many years, they know I'm always talking from my heart. So that is my way, how I practice, how I learn, and also how I share those information with people. When I was a young monk, I was so annoying, be honest, right? And so it is so challenging for my teachers. When I was under training, that time I didn't understand what it means. They couldn't understand it either. However, it was so difficult for them. But however, I did my education really well. Because I'm very physically and mentally, I'm very active character, very active. Sometimes it is too much. So my nature, I'm not talking with pride. My nature, even I can do 10 things together without having distractions. So that's my character. When other people around it, because they are not like that, I'm not having the same expectation, they are having challenges and difficulties because of that. So anyway, I'm trying to build the background, what I'm going to tell you today. So right after I graduate, my teacher decided I'm the only option he had. He sent me to this annoying, difficult young monk to Australia. So I was 21. Now I'm 56. So Again, I have that energy. I want to do things always. I am in the service to people. I have, you know, now think about the 21 years old young monk, and he has lots of energy to do and help people. I work so hard in Australia. Even now we have beautiful temple they built. I'm the one raised all the funds to buy that 5-acre land, you know, that time. So I was the first resident monk. So anyway, after I go to Australia, so I'm just by myself, that little hut kind of place. You know, I'm talking about 30 years ago. I'm by myself. It's so boring. Because people are coming weekends, people bring food. But it's so boring. One day I was thinking to myself, this is so boring. I want to figure it out something. See, my character. So that's the nature. So it's worked perfectly for me anyway. And so one day I saw a bus going by the temple. It's a white bus. I was thinking, I'm going to have a bus ride. So it's a Brisbane, Australia. So one day I was standing in front of the road and then bus stop. I get into the bus. But this is a culture in Sri Lanka. It's a Buddhist land. And when we are getting to a public bus, there is a front seat for the clergy, for the monks. It's legally, it says, this is for the monks. So when even 100 people in the bus, when I'm getting to the bus, there's a monk get into the bus, they give the seat for the monk. So they get up and give it. And so I'm so used to that conditioned mind. Now think about this 21 years old young monk, first time going to have a bus ride, no idea, out of Sri Lanka. You know, so I was getting to the bus. My expectation in my mind, right after I get into the bus, somebody give me a seat. Think about it. I'm dressed like a monk. I was getting to the bus. I had that expectation. I kind of look around. Everybody's looking weirdly at me because I'm different. Nobody give me a seat. Now I'm standing, going like this, and so I felt so uncomfortable. Why? I'm not used to live like that. So then I was thinking to myself, you know, I didn't have experience. These people are so mean. They are not giving me a seat. They are so mean. I feel stress in my heart and body and my mind. I didn't enjoy that bus ride. Then bus stop in Brisbane City. Then I'm sad, I'm upset myself. I didn't walk around the city. I was getting to the next bus. I came back to the temple. So then I called my teacher. I said, I don't like Australia. Please, you know, send me a ticket. I want to come back to Sri Lanka. Then he asked, why? Because these people are not nice to me. I was getting to the bus. They didn't give me a seat. Then he said, don't worry, I will send you a ticket. And so he never sent it. And so I was waiting to get a ticket, but he never sent it. So after having that experience, I was start to think to myself, what's wrong with me? So now teaching is really kicking in. I was thinking, what's wrong with me? So this is not the people. This is what I am thinking, how I am thinking. So therefore, I have to change the way I am thinking. I am living in a new land, new community, different people. So I cannot have the same expectation when I am living in another country. So sometimes we don't like changes. So if you cannot accept the changes in life, you cannot practice the Buddhist teaching. Sometimes temple also change. I also change after last 20 years later, right? Sometimes people don't like changes. But if you cannot accept the changes, how come you are going to call yourself you are good Buddhist meditation practitioner? So that is the teaching of the Buddha. So I had that issues too. Then I thought I had to accept these changes. So now it is still difficult, but I got an idea in my head. So then I was there, you know, Australia 5 years. You know, anyway, It's a long story. I do not go all the, you know, information. Then anyway, I made the decision to leave that place. That's my own decision. Then I had the opportunity to come to the United States. So then I land to Atlanta first. Then I'm, you know, you can see I'm a small person. I'm coming out from the airplane for my transit. There was a tall African-American man looking at me. "Hey, man, hey, man, what's up?" Right? That's how he was talking. That's their language, right? I don't know. Then I was thinking he was so mean to me. So then anyway, now I have little information in my head. No, I have to accept that. Now I'm in the new land again. So I accepted. Then I went to Detroit. Now I'm, you know, taking care of the Detroit temple. So living there. So then I had the one day, I had an invitation from a Sri Lankan family from New York City. They said, "Can you get into the bus and come and do a special event in New York City?" Then I was getting to the Greyhound bus. Now, after I get into the Greyhound bus, I found a seat. I was sitting there. Now, bus almost ready to leave. I saw there is a young man get into the bus. Look around. There's the only seat next to me. I can see he's a little uncomfortable sit next to me because I'm kind of different person. So anyway, he was sat there, you know. So he was not comfortable. He's sitting like a statue like this. Then I said, "Hi." Then he said, "Hi." That's it. No friendly, you know, expressions. Then I was thinking, 15 hours, I'm going to sit like this? You know, that's my nature. Then I said, "How are you doing?" You know, I try, you know, I cannot speak English that much, but however I try to communicate with this young man. So then anyway, now 15 hours, you know, now we build little communication. So then I said, "I'm a Buddhist monk." So the first question this young man asked, "Are you married?" I said, "No, monks are not married. You know, they cannot marry." And so then he said, "You are crazy." Then I was thinking, think about, you know, I don't know the language. When somebody say I'm crazy, then it's really a little hurt. I felt hurt. I'm not crazy. I'm a monk. I know there are lots of crazy monks too. And so now I understand, but I felt I'm not crazy. Then again, it's really hit my egotistical mind. But now I have little information in my head. Okay, patient, patient. Practice patience, because the day I became a monk, my teacher said, "You cannot be a monk if you don't have the quality of patience." It totally makes sense to me now, because I'm dealing with people every single day. I have to have lots of patience in my mind. So then I was talking patient, patient, patient. So then, you know, then he asked me, "You don't have clothes?" I said, "No, this is my clothes." Then he was telling me, "I was thinking you are wear a tablecloth." Because he's around 19 years old. And so it's, then I was thinking, again hurt. Why? This robe, I talked about the robe, you know, a few weeks ago. People really have lots of respect for this, you know, robe in our Buddhist countries. People carrying in their head to the temple. So then I was thinking, "No, I'm not wearing a tablecloth. This is very respectful, one of the oldest, you know, uniform in the world." And so then, anyway, I managed my feeling. So end of my trip, I had a little, you know, business card. I just grabbed one, I just gave it to him. But he doesn't want to kind of accept it, but he just grabbed it. He just walked away. I was thinking, whatever, right? So then, and so then I left. I did my work. I came back to Detroit. Then after 5 years later, you know, I moved to here. Now I'm living here in Crystal Lake. 5 years later, I got a email, my old Hotmail email address. Then there's an email, "I don't know you remember me. I met you 5 years ago, you know, in the Greyhound bus. I'm that young man, I talked to you that time. I don't know about the Buddhist monk, but being in New York City, I have seen so many monks. It's a very diverse culture there. And now I have a little background. You know, I don't know you live or died, or I don't know, but I'm trying to communicate with you. So I need your help if you can. Then he said, I have lots of, you know, the addiction issues, drug addict. So therefore, is there any way you can help me? So then right away I was thinking, okay, I'm going to help this man. That time there was another monk who was living with me. Now he's in Florida. So I was talking to, I didn't talk to him actually. Then I said to that young man, I called him, I said, if you want to come here, I would like to help you. Otherwise, very difficult to help you from the distance. Then he said, really? Can I come to Chicago? I said, sure. Then he asked me where I'm going to stay. I said, you can stay in my house. I said. Then that evening, I talked to other monks. You know, one of my friends coming to stay with us. Then he asked me, who is that guy? I said, he's a drug addict. And then he, looking at me, he's going to live with us because we had two bedrooms, an apartment in Crystal Lake. I said, yes. And I can see he doesn't like it. So anyway, I invited him. I picked from the airport. He came and stayed with me. I said, my friend, now this is the way. You are living with two Buddhist monks. Now you are under my roof. You have to follow my rules and guidelines. So therefore, without me, you cannot go anywhere. So you have to come to each meditation class with me and you have to help me. He said, sure, I am going to do it. So now he's doing things, activities with me. And he stayed like 3 months, 4 months with me. Then I felt he's doing so well. He didn't do any wrong thing during that time. So then I felt he has a little emotional connection towards me. Then I had the same emotional connection towards, you know, like my brother, my son. That's how I felt too. And so that time, then I was thinking, this is not safe for me. It is not good for him either. Because now emotional challenges and connected, you know, it's a kind of attachment. Then I thought, now he's doing so well, he has to leave. Then I made the proposal, now this is time to leave. Then he said, really? I said, yes. Then he asked, where do I have to go? I said, go back to where you were. And so then I can see lots of fear, but why is that? He felt so safe around me with us. So finally, he made the decision to go. I said, every day I'm keep calling you, I'm keep helping you, I'm checking on you. We agreed. Then he left. So then he continued his education. Actually, before he comes, he told me one day why he was thinking about me. One day he was thinking, I'm tired, I'm exhausted emotionally, physically, I'm going to kill myself. When he was having that thought, that's the moment he had that thought in his mind, I met a Buddhist monk in Greyhound bus, maybe he can help me. How wonderful, he kept my card somewhere. That's a good thing about in American people. If you give something, you label it and you keep it. So not me, right? And so sometimes I cannot remember who gave it to me. And so anyway, so then he left. Then he continued to do his education. Then he did his master's and PhD. Finally, I did his marriage. And so life is going really well. I saved his life. Now my point is, now think about that day, that moment, I was struggling a lot with my own emotion, even in the Greyhound bus, airport, Australia, about my egotistical mind. Ego-related mind. I was struggling a lot. But however, being in this spiritual journey, I manage, I observe, I watch what it means. Now think about that experience, help somebody else. Now think about, if I stay in that egotistical mind rest of my life, nobody's coming here. Nobody's coming to the Blue Lotus. I'm not traveling and helping the world. Now I help that young man, because moment I'm taking care of my egotistical mind, it will be beneficial to the world. This makes sense? Really, you know, I really experienced this after that, you know, meeting that young man. So anyway, now I want to ask you, what is the root of our all the difficulties, problems, and we are going through in our life? What is the root cause? Ego is the root, right? Ego is the root. What is the simple word for ego? Self or I, right? Right. Now I'm asking you, now you can answer. Who is I? No idea, right? But now think about, because of this one letter, I, how many problems we have? Millions of problems because of I. I turn into what? We. Then ours. Then we are keep going, expanding that I to the whole universe. Then we are fighting, we are killing each other, you know, doing lots of negative things. What is the root? Is I. So I, my, and mind. I call I, my, mind syndrome. It's a syndrome. So, as you said, Gus, we don't know how we are going to define this I. Who is I? Can you point it out? Who is I? Who is I? Anybody? No I here? That's great. If you don't have I here, I'm so happy to hear that. But I know lots of I's are here, right? So who is that I? How do you define it? I. You can say, what? Somebody asks, who is I? How, Allison, how you are going to define yourself? Who is Allison? I'm Allison. You can say, I'm Allison. Then you can say, I live in where? You are living in Las Vegas. I'm married. I have 2 children. I have grandchildren. You know, you can say all those. That's I. So then each person in this room, they have their own eyes. So then I'm asking, then sometimes people say, the way I dress, way I look, and this is I. The way I work, that's how I identify myself. Then I'm asking, if your physical body is I, let's do this. Okay? Now just imagine, break all the your physical body part to different groups. Now there's 2 hands, 2 legs, 1 head, 1 tummy, right? All those things are different piles. Then I am pointing out there's 2 hands. Then I'm asking, this is I? Do you say yes or no? Then you say, no, this is 2 hands. Then I'm pointing the head, I'm asking, this is I? Then you say, no, that's not I, that's a head. So after you break to the different parts, there is no I in your physical body. So Buddha used an analogy. We call a car. You know, at that time we don't have a car, but I use a car. Then after we take all the pieces out from the car, we call it car? No, right? Then we call all the junk. So now think about, we label it. Why we label it? Why we label it? Now think about, all the human beings are here. Each person has a different name. Why is that? To make things easy. That's what we call conventional truth. This makes sense? Conventional truth. Why is that truth? For our convenience. Otherwise, if they have one name for all the men, is it fun? Is it easy? No. Even think about, if there are 2 Michaels, we call them Michael number 1, Michael number 2. Oh, Michael number 3. You know, that's what people are always telling, right? Always number 1, number 2, right, Todd? And so always you are, you know, he's using some names. He said 1 and 2. So why is that? When you have 2, then we have to differentiate it. So therefore, why we are labeling these things, I, my, and mine? Because of? Because for our convenience. Now think about, I call this is my cushion. I don't know who made it, and this is called the Bhante Sujata's cushion. But think about, my teacher will come here. Then I'm not in sitting on this cushion as a boss, as a leader. I go in far away. Why? Because I had to respect him. Then I offer, as a senior monk, to my teacher this cushion. Because this is the place senior monk always, that's a tradition of the Buddhist monastic life. So then I offer. So then if I'm attached to this cushion, that's my egotistical mind. There was a lady who came to the temple. I don't think she's here today. And so one day, after meditation, she came to the social room and she was so emotional. I asked, what's going on? Bhante, I came a little late today. Somebody was sitting on my cushion. Then I was, some people know me. Sometimes I make my faces, you know, my face. I was looking at, your cushion? Did you pay for that? Did you bring it from home? She said, no. Bhante, I was sitting there 8 years on that cushion. Sitting on that, you know, he said, front row, left side of me, third cushion, 8 years. Now she is thinking, that is my cushion. How come? How you label it? What big problem you created?